jobs and the state's role in creating them?
Certainly, we'd like to see, you know, high-paying wage jobs, but that's not always the case. But we've got a lot of people that work a second job just to supplement their income, and it makes a difference with a lot of families. You see a lot of people there working in the Kmart and the Walmart and the places just to supplement the income that they're making on a regular job, which is good. So I think as long as we continue to concentrate on creating jobs, no matter what they are, I think it's going to make a difference, because in the end, it's going to all become a ripple effect and everyone's going to be able to go back to work and support their families. And that's what we want to do. I think that we have to play a major part in that. We have to make it attractive for people to come into our communities, to relocate their businesses in Rockford by tax incentives, things like that, give them tax breaks. We have to do whatever we can to attract those individuals because, in the long and the short of it is, they do bring jobs to Rockford. So we've got to give them some incentives to come to Rockford. Everyone else does it, so why should we be any different? You know, all the other cities and the states do it, and we have to be involved in that same process. So,
K through 12 education.
Well, I think K through 12, we need to do everything we can to fund the education to the fullest extent. And what is that, people say? You know, still I say there has to be some responsibility on both sides. You know, we can throw all the money in the world at schools, but if the teachers aren't teaching the kids and the kids aren't learning, what are we accomplishing by putting more money into the system? We have to come up with something that's going to benefit both us and the children that we're trying to reach. Because we know that without an education today, you're lost in this world. You can't compete for the jobs that are out there. You end up working for $7, $8 an hour, minimum wage anyway, and you can't support a family. You can't support yourself on minimum wage. So it's a good substitute for, you know, if you're trying to supplement another job, but trying to support a family, you cannot do that. I think we need to constantly have that conversation with what's best for the kids, because the bottom line are the kids. And we need to have all the people at the table. You know, not too long ago, we reinstated the funding to pay the superintendents, because I think they do a tremendous job. And we have to continue to have them involved in the process. But along with them, we need to have a lot of other people coming to the table. We need to be talking to each other, communicating with each other. Nothing gets accomplished if we aren't communicating and stop the duplication and start concentrating on what's working for everyone and everyone work together. I think we can get a lot more done if we do that, but we have to communicate with each other. You know, people are trying to say, well, this guy's in charge of this or this guy's in charge with that. We've known cities to get involved in education, mayors get involved in education, to work with the school districts. That's what we have to do. Whatever it takes to make it work is what we have to do here in Rockford.
Higher education.
Well, you know, I think that there has to be some responsibility, but I think our major responsibility lies with getting people through basic education and then getting them through maybe a bachelor's degree. Higher education is always good, but at least you've gotten to that point where you have ability to go out and compete for a job, and you can help supplement your higher education if, in fact, it's something you want to do. You've got time to do it maybe in a few years, but at least now you're at the level where you can make a living for yourself and your family. I think we can always do more. You know, we at one point had to cut back on the MAP grant monies. We've since then restored all those dollars to make sure that there's assistance out there, monetary assistance program, assistance for the kids that want to go to college. A lot of kids are going to college on the MAP grants and a lot of other things that are being offered through the state of Illinois. We have to continue to do that to make sure that we're doing everything we can to give these kids a chance to succeed.
The state's role in health care.
Well, you know, we've talked about that for a few years now in the state of Illinois, that we all need a basic health plan. It does not have to be a Cadillac plan, but it has to be something basic that affords all people with some form of health care. I think working in conjunction with the Obama administration, the state of Illinois, we can probably look at what he's proposing, and we can sort of tweak what we're doing as it relates to the people we represent, and you know, it can become a good thing for everyone involved. And what I mean by that is it's not going to be as costly if it's basic. People can afford it. They might have to pay a little bit towards it, but for the most part, the state's there doing the things they want to do. And if we tweak it and make it reasonable for everyone, then I think it's something we can do in the state of Illinois.
Pensions.
I don't know if it's a court test, and if we decide to change the pensions, we're certainly going to have to change the Constitution at this point to make sure we're addressing that. But we've already started to do some things, put some things in place. We've created another TIR system to make sure that if you come in at this point, you face a different program than what was there originally. And a lot of people objected to that. But we have to do something to address this pension system because the system is bankrupt in Illinois, and we have to address it. We got a lot more work to do, but we've already started to say there is a problem. And it's nothing that I did as a legislator because this has been there for 25 or 30 years. But it's time for us to address it, and I just happen to be here now, so we have to address it along with all the other legislators and make sure that the pensions no longer bankrupt in Illinois. We can afford to give out the pensions on a different level, a different involvement as it relates to all the people that are part of the system. But I think they understand that there has to be something done. You know, right now I support the system that if you're grandfathered in, we probably shouldn't mess with those people. You know, that's what they were promised. That's what they earned. So they should be left alone. But people coming in, yeah, there should be some type of a different system, a plateau or whatever, you know, to make sure that you're paying what you should be paying, whereas before people weren't always paying their fair share.
Illinois' role in renewable energy.
To a point, but we've got, you know, when you talk about addressing domestic energy policies. We're already starting to do some things in Illinois that addresses those policies. We have to do a lot more. We're looking at a lot of things that we haven't done in the past that's working. We have to look at creating new jobs through green energy, new jobs through the corn, you know, a lot of resources that we have here. Sure, we need to step up our game to the point that, you know, we're opening up additional jobs. We're helping the farmers. We're helping the all the other people that are involved in that. We're helping energy as it relates to the windmills. You know, we see a lot of wind-aided energy now. Those things we have to do. I was in China probably 6 months ago, and they are doing this. I mean, they've created things that's working for their economy that we have to buy into, and we're starting to do that, but we have to do a lot more. And I think we are, you know, we're a little bit late in coming, but we're coming into the 21st century pretty strong now, and I think we're going to catch up on a lot of those things that was nice to domestic energy and things like that. So, yeah, we certainly have to do our fair share. And, you know, in the same process, it cleans things up. It does things, a lot of things, a lot more environmentally friendly. And it's just a win-win situation for everyone.
Labor and the right-to-work movement.
I do not support a right-to-work law. I think that the unions have done a great job. I've supported the unions. And I think the unions are fair. They create a fair wage for the individuals working for them. But it doesn't, I don't think it discriminates to the point. A lot of people say it does, but I don't think they discriminate. You know, labor unions have been around for years and years, and they probably will continue to be. I support their movement, and I don't believe in the right to work state. You know, I think that there are some things that we can sit down and talk about and negotiate, but I think it was wrong what they did in Wisconsin, you know, to eliminate the bargaining, collective bargaining, you know, that's been there forever and ever, and all of a sudden you come in and completely eliminate it. That's not fair to all the people involved in the process, the unions, i.e. whoever is working there. So, again, you know, we can sit down, we can communicate with each other, but just to flat out say this is the way it's going to be done and you have no say, that's not fair. I think there's always room for concessions. People just have to be willing to make those concessions.
On social issues, first, abortion.
Well, I think, you know, it's pretty clear right now. We've got Roe versus Wade, And that's been the law, and it's worked for us. You know, it's hard to go in and dictate to women what they should do with their bodies. You know, that's between them and their God. And I don't think anyone has a right to dictate that. Roe versus Wade spelled it out some years ago, and people still trying to change that. So I just figure that what's working is working, and we just need to allow it to work.
Civil unions and gay marriage proposals.
I'm totally opposed to that. I was opposed to the civil unions bill. And as a result of that, I knew this was going to happen. You know, they said, well, all we want to be, it's, you know, as part of the process, through civil unions, it allows us to do that. And I said, well, you know, that's going to be fine for now, but when this passes, then we're going to see legislation trying to create the ability for people, same-sex marriages, same-sex genders to marry. And I said, you know, it's just a matter of time. So I didn't support that. I would not support any other legislation as it relates to that. I just believe that we as people should be governed by the Bible, and everyone unbiblical, and I understand that, but I am, and those are my beliefs. So, you know, that's what I stand by.
Concealed carry.
You know, I am against concealed carry right now, and a lot of people say, well, why? We're the only state that's left, and I understand that, but, you know, again, I think concealed carry gives a lot of people false courage. And what I mean by that is, you know, it's so easy for us to pull a gun rather than to apologize to someone for stepping on their foot or them stepping on your foot or bumping up against you or whatever. Now, all of a sudden, we've got that false courage and we've got it right inside of our pockets or in our coats. And, you know, the easiest thing in the world to do is to pull that gun and say, I don't have to take this. Whereas before, we would rationalize, we would apologize, we would do all the things that were necessary to avoid a fight. And, you know, I think it's also going to lead to things like mistaken identity as it relates to people thinking people are robbers and they turn out not to be. They just happen to look a little bit that way. But that doesn't give you the right to shoot them and apologize later and say, oh, I didn't know. I thought they were a mug or a robber or something like that. I think you'll see a lot of that if, in fact, we go to concealed carry. And a lot of people say, well, you still have to have certification. You still have to go through these tests and things. And I agree. But is that going to be enough? You know, in the long run, people want a gun so they can have, they say, protection. You have the right now to have a gun, to own a gun in your home. So why take it to the streets? Own a gun in your home if you feel unsecure. That's your right. There's no law against that right now. The law allows you to do that right now. You can actually own a gun in your home and protect yourself.
Gambling expansion.
Gambling expansion, I support. And I support it simply because the people that I represent in Rockford and Winnebago County tells me that's something that the city and the county wants. And myself as a legislator, that's who I represent. So if the city's telling me they want expanded gaming, the county tells me they want expanded gaming, I think it's my job to go out and fight for expanded gaming. I'm not a big gaming proponent, but that doesn't matter. You know, it's additional revenue. It's new revenue. We're talking about introducing another $2 billion to the coffers of the state of Illinois. That's what we need to do. We know that the state doesn't have all the money we'd like to have. So if it's going to produce another billion or another $2 billion that we can operate with, I think that's what we have to do. Plus, I believe that we become the stopgate to the north. And what I mean by that is we no longer have people going to the north, to Wisconsin from Rockford, to take those dollars over there. And instead, we might be able to track some of those dollars back into Illinois. So it would be a win-win situation for us if we had a casino here in Rockford. And like I said, I'm not the greatest advocate for gambling, but I believe that it will generate additional revenue. And we've had a hard time identifying additional revenue because of the slowness of the economy and things that have happened, you know, in the last 6 months, year. And we have to do everything we can to capture the dollars that are there.
Reducing the state's budget deficit.
I think we need to look at cuts, as the governor's talking about, but we need to be careful where those cuts are made. We've got social services agencies around here now that just depends on people's very lives just to have those social services in place and have those services in the community. You know, I do a lot of social service through my office, things that I don't have to do. Like I actually helped to issue LIHEAP certification, circuit breaker certification. Those are things that I don't have to do. I do because I know it's necessary. You know, people are in dire need today, more so now than ever. So I do those things because I know it's a benefit to a lot of people that I represent. I don't have to do that out of my office. I'm a state legislator, and that's not part of my job. But I make it part of my job because I see the need of the people. Well, I think cuts is probably a good way to go, but we need to get rid of some of those high-paying salaries, people that we can actually do without, people that might be in the governor's office, people might be in Speaker Madigan's office, people might be in jobs across the state of Illinois. We pay a lot of people to sit on boards. Maybe we need to eliminate those salaries. Those can get to be $60,000, $80,000, $100,000 a year. You know, if we cut enough of those, we'll start balancing this budget. But we just need to start making the cuts and stop procrastinating about making the cuts. And then look at other things that we're doing to say we can make some cuts in certain areas, but make sure not to make the mistake of making the cuts that relates to the people that we represent as far as the mill capacity, the need to have certain services in place just so they can exist. We do a tremendous service by keeping people in their homes with self-help programs. You know, if those people had to go to the nursing homes, it would cost the state of Illinois a tremendous amount more money than what we're paying right now to keep them in their own surroundings where they're happier. You know, they're probably going to survive a lot longer because they are in happy surroundings, whereas you put them in a nursing home, you know, you just send them off to more or less wait to die. But people are very, very happy in their own surroundings. And we got people that go into these people's homes and take care of these people and do what they need to do for the people and leave. And I think that's a great thing that the state of Illinois is doing. We just need to continue to do that along with some other things. At this point, I'm trying to support tax loophole closings because I think we can generate a lot of dollars by doing that. But also in the same process, give tax incentives to people that are bringing jobs into Illinois. You know, it's a way to do that. You know, you can't say that you're saying one thing on one hand and doing another thing on the other. We have to continue to offer incentives for jobs because people need jobs. They need work to support their families. But in the same process, the people that are getting away, taking their jobs out of the country and still getting tax incentives through loopholes and things, we need to close those loopholes. And say to the people that are going out of Illinois, if you're going out of Illinois, there won't be any incentives, and we're going to take away everything we can as it relates to the loopholes that you've been avoiding.
Why should voters choose you?
I would say that I've been doing the job. You know, I'm not proposing to do the job. I've been there. I've demonstrated my compassion for the people that I represent. I'm a full-time legislator, not a part-time legislator. A lot of my colleagues are part-time legislators. I'm in my office almost every day, and I'm doing the work of the people. I don't think it gets any better than what I'm able to do as it relates to the expansion of my hours in the office. We went from 9 to 5 to 8 to 5. That our doors are open. We're doing things in the office that we don't have to do. We've always had the open door policy. We will continue to have that. Because, like I said before, people need help. The people that I see today, Sue, are people that used to make $100,000+ in a household. Those same people now that own the soup lines and the pantries and things like that because they've lost their jobs, their homes are underwater, and they're just struggling to survive. And they didn't ask to be there. They just happen to be there. But they'll get better. But until they get better, we have to continue to offer services to make sure that they feed their family and send their kids to school and do the things they need to do to continue to survive as a family. So I'm a legislator that's always out there, always trying to help someone that needs help, not all the time resolving your problem, but directing you to the people that can help resolve your problems. And I think that's a big part of it, too. So just know that I will continue to do that as long as I'm the state representative for the 67th district.
Why should voters choose you?
I would say that I've been doing the job. You know, I'm not proposing to do the job. I've been there. I've demonstrated my compassion for the people that I represent. I'm a full-time legislator, not a part-time legislator. A lot of my colleagues are part-time legislators. I'm in my office almost every day, and I'm doing the work of the people. I don't think it gets any better than what I'm able to do as it relates to the expansion of my hours in the office. We went from 9 to 5 to 8 to 5. That our doors are open. We're doing things in the office that we don't have to do. We've always had the open door policy. We will continue to have that because, like I said before, people need help. The people that I see today, Sue, are people that used to make $100,000+ in a household. Those same people now that own the soup lines and the pantries and things like that because they've lost their jobs, their homes are underwater, and they're just struggling to survive. And they didn't ask to be there. They just happened to be there. But they'll get better. But until they get better, we have to continue to offer services to make sure that they feed their family and send their kids to school and do the things they need to do to continue to survive as a family. So I'm a legislator that's always out there, always trying to help someone that needs help, not all the time resolving your problem, but directing you to the people that can help resolve your problems. And I think that's a big part of it, too. So just know that I will continue to do that as long as I'm the state representative for the 67.
And finally, other issues that are important to your district and the state.
What issues? Absolutely jobs. We have to have jobs, but we also have to find maybe a better way to deal with the pension systems. Pensions are killing us right now. We can't afford to continue to let that happen. And I think we're starting to do something. This problem, like I said before, was created 25, 30 years ago. But the time is now to start trying to resolve some of those issues and to get back on the right track. And I think we've already started to do that. So that's going to be one of my focuses also. And just creating new revenue. Creating new revenue. I talk all the time about the fact that tourism is so fantastic for the state of Illinois. As I talk to people involved in tourism, every dollar that we spend gets a $9 return. You don't have to be a mathematician to figure out that's a good deal. You know, so we have to continue to invest in the in tourism. The more dollars we invest, the more dollars we get in return. So we have to continue to attract those dollars. And the good thing about those dollars, Sue, is most of them are from outside the state of Illinois, outside of Rockford, coming into Rockford. We do a great tourism business here in Rockford, and we can improve. So, you know, I'll continue to make sure that my focus is on it. I'm part of the tourism board. So, you know, I'll continue to focus on that.